Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It's July 23rd, 2025. This is your AEW post-show review brought to you by NordVPN.com and a Blue Chew and the code Fightful. And as always, our good friends at MyBookie. We've got Alex Pawlowski here, one step closer to reviewing Freddie Got Fingered.
Well, we'll see. We shall see.
I ran it by Jimmy today on
Hump.
I gave him the lore.
Okay.
He didn't say no, which to me, plus, I mean, let's be real. These were financed pretty well last night. Like,
Yes, they were.
Now, I'll tell you one thing I can't do. I cannot sell sponsors on that review.
No, you can't.
I can't. And I can't even throw, like, I can't even say, hey, Blue Chew, I'll give you guys a bone. They'll be like, no. Glenn Rubenstein.
There is a very loose tie-in between Blue Chew and Freddie Got Fingered in that both sausages, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
it's true.
It can be a sausage fest with Blue Chew. Like, you could do that. You could, like, have a little corporate synergy.
If you guys hear Alex with an echo, I will actually hook up my earbuds. So,
because that's not
yeah, it's not Alex. But if you want us to echo what you have to say, send in a super chat or a humper chat at humperchats.com or here at youtube.com/fightful. It would mean an awful lot if you guys would do that. Matthew Hook said that he would be a sponsor. Listen, if we can sell some sponsorship, if you want to sponsor us putting over your cat, we have done that before, guys. Mm-hmm. I am okay with doing that. Like, it's completely fine. It's just, I realize we are getting pretty close to making this a reality, and it's something that I feel like the world needs.
What? All right.
You guys, as best I know, we're not here to talk about that. You guys are here to talk about AEW Dynamite.
Yep.
AEW Dynamite. It was, you know, it concluded with a bang, a big announcement for a major rematch. Of course, we will get to that. But it also started with Hangman Page defeating Wheeler Yuta, bloodying Wheeler Yuta, sparing Wheeler Yuta's life. Alex, I did not think we were going to see Wheeler Yuta again tonight.
Yeah, not in this particular facet. I don't think he was needed except for the bandage, which was a fantastic visual. This was much faster than I thought, but I also thought it made Hangman into a very dominant champion. Like Wheeler Yuta is a very talented wrestler. He's not a problem for me. I'm the AEW World Champion. Like that's what it felt like. There was a statement made because that match. We got the interview to kick off the show.
Yes,
and then he comes down. They both guys enter. That match was over before 8:10. Like that was a quick match. It wasn't a squash, but it was a quick match. But it felt like it was just Hangman Page making a statement, and then making another.
I'm okay with that. By the way,
I am too.
He is the world champion, and Yuta is formidable, but. Right.
He is formidable. He's a former ROH pure champion. Like he's a former trios champion. We've seen him have really great knockdown, drag out 18 to 20 minute matches. This wasn't the place for that. This is the place where you establish Hangman Page as being a dominant champion. And I also love that he then brings out the chain that Swerve gave him, the chain that he hung Mox with, bloodies up Wheeler Yuta, and then is going to hang him, but he's not. He's just trying to see if the Death Riders will come out and save Wheeler Yuta, and they don't. And then he points that out to Wheeler Yuta. None of your friends are coming to save you because they're not your friends. Like, I don't think, spoiler alert, they set up a title match for next week, but I don't think that's where we get the turn. I think that happens during Blood and Guts. If they actually set up a final thing, if they do that, if they're building to a big team Hangman versus the Death Riders thing, I think that everyone effectively abandoning Mox during that match,
we'll talk about that later,
for various reasons, would be a really great way to fully put a seal on everything. And finally, blessedly, for the first time in years, Mox can go have a very long vacation.
We are definitely going to talk about that much more later on. I did like Hangman winning this in the way that he did. MJF tried to get Hangman to like give him a bonus title shot. And Hangman's like, no, the way that I do that is you earn it or you use that, which you did earn. And he's like, and we know you're not going to do that.
Right. So the MJF thinks he can goad him into it. I feel so strongly about this. If you have that contract and you are able to successfully goad the champion into giving you a match, that counts as you using the contract. It has to, because if you become the champion, what does that thing give you? It doesn't give you anything. You're already the champion.
You could have it in case you lost the title.
I suppose. So this is confirmation tonight, obviously from this and from Athena, that they are in fact keeping the basically money in the bank thing, except for you actually have to
hate it
on track before. I also hate it. I think it should be that you have to, you can use it for whatever date you choose, but it has to be 1 week in advance at minimum. So MJF could say, I'm in that title match with you and Moxley next week. He could say that, and they have no choice but to put in it too. That's a possibility, but him just being able to like walk down to the ring and cash in feels like that's a misstep for me.
I got to say this is good. You can also have it just by the mere fact that no one can use it on you. I wouldn't hate in the future if WWE had somebody that was a champion try to weasel their way into Money in the Bank just for the sheer paranoia of being cashed in on. But the reason I don't like the cash in thing is a couple of reasons. One, it is such a clear ripoff of a WWE idea. Yes. And it's a good WWE idea. One of the few that WWE had during like that period. Mm-hmm. And there are things like the Royal Rumble that get emulated because they are so big. I don't think the number two company in wrestling should be emulating those types of things. Right. What they have done with the Casino Gauntlet, I think is great. I think that one, they knew it was a hit. There could be ways they could tinker it. They could say, okay, well, you can't win until so forward. Or sure. You could say, if someone gets thrown over the top rope, they are also eliminated, even though that doesn't count as finishing the match. There are ways they could do that, but like, I don't want to see them do a Royal Rumble. I don't want to see them do a Money in the Bank contract.
Right.
I don't want to see them do those things. I would probably be a lot more lenient for like an elimination tag team match, like a Survivor Series. That's a little bit different. But if they're out there doing, if they came out there and did a King of the Mountain match, I'd be like, why are they doing that? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. And also they felt like it was an albatross last year with Christian. So
yes, it's true.
But we did get an announcement for a tag team title eliminator tournament, of which I got great amusement out of them showing the brackets.
Why are you showing me a bracket where there are no teams on the bracket?
There are no teams announced.
Yeah, this is
the
this
ones
is,
that are competing.
This is a to WWE's credit, when they did the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournament, they showed me who were in all of the matches.
Yes.
When the brackets came out, they hadn't been doing that for a while. Tony Khan is really bad at this. When he does a tournament, he's like, some people will be in it, I guess. And then he'll tell you, like, he will finally reveal who's in the tournament, all of them, after several matches have already taken place. Just tell me who's in the tournament.
So, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business, where you can see this gentleman reviewing wrestling. You get Q&A articles from me every day. You get two bonus Grapsody Q&A episodes a month. Yeah. You get weekly Q&A podcasts from myself. You had news on an ROH TV deal that Tony Khan values more than anybody else, apparently. But we had a couple of notes over there, and one of them directly affected this Forbidden Door Tag Team Tournament. Colton Gunn sustained an injury last week. I don't know if they even know how bad it is, because they wanted to give him the opportunity to have enough time to maybe get in this tournament, because he was planned for the tournament. I was told straight up, it's not looking good. So as a result, that is sort of like causing a domino effect, and maybe some teams that had creative plans that weren't involved in this now have to be adjusted accordingly.
Yeah, that does make sense. I'm just happy that you would think if it was a torn ACL, they would know he's not in the tournament.
Yes.
Like if it's a sprain or something, or a very slight tear or something, and he might be good in 6 weeks, but we can't hold off for that long. Then at least that's much better news for the long-term success and health of the Guns, of the Bang Bang Gang, all that stuff. Because as of last week, man, it really looked like this was the most snake bit franchise in the history of AEW.
Yeah.
Like everybody gets, like White is injured. Juice Robinson came back. Colton's injured. Like if we can get all four of these guys healthy, I really feel like they are at least upper mid card, like running that scene. That's potential these four guys have.
Let me just say, no time soon. Unfortunately, Brian Moore or less says would prefer if the contract followed the gift of the gods rules, at least a week's notice. Yeah.
I like that.
I really enjoyed that as well. And I'll tell you what else I enjoyed. FTR defeating Jet Speed. Ooh boy. Listen, guys, if you all are a geek for wrestling psychology like me, go watch our Speedball Mike Bailey interview. If you haven't watched it, I am so proud of that interview. Like while we did it, it was for the Keep It Kayfabe documentary that followed him WrestleMania week 2023, 11 matches over 3 days. I interviewed the directors. It's up exclusively for subscribers. But while we were in this interview, I felt like it was something special as far as my interviews go. And just some of the comments, let's just say, this is instantly one of my favorite interviews, tons of insight. Wrestling's best journalist speaks to wrestling's best guy. Well, you know what? I didn't know Speedball was a wrestling journalist. Bailey looks like he's so fun to talk X's and O's with. This one says, incredible interview. I do watch a lot of them. This has to be among the best of all time. Make this a series of some kind. The insight, the psychology, the openness of Speedball is just amazing. We really, really got into the X's and O's of striking. I trained striking for a long time. I helped teach it for a while. And Speedball's technique, I cannot begin to convey to you guys like the level of trust that a wrestler has to have in order to not just go for a wheel kick and accept it, but an extra spin before that. And we discussed like the idea of why chops are used in wrestling. If closed fist punches aren't banned, are super kicks done too much? What should be done? What shouldn't be done? Where do you draw the line with suspension of disbelief? And one of the things I brought up is, you know, I've seen a lot more disaster kicks in MMA, like the Cody Rhodes uses bouncing off the ropes, than I have somebody getting a chin lock slapped on and no hooks protecting the hip. Like, so to me, what I view as believable versus unbelievable, way different. And we discussed that at length in that interview. Please check that out. It's not really off topic, but this match, Alex, this match, I think really set the tone for this tournament because it showed you how important these tag team titles are and what these two teams are willing to do to get back there. And of course they've got fantastic chemistry. FTR has fantastic chemistry against everybody. Somehow they've got fantastic chemistry against the Outrunners as well. Like they are probably the most reliable tag team in the world. And this was fantastic.
It's a great match. I think obviously FTR is one of the very best to ever do it. I prefer them as heels. So I like this use of them. I really love Bayley and Kevin Knight. I think I like them more separately though. I think I just like the idea of them being singles guys. Who occasionally will back each other up if the need arises, as opposed to being part of the tag team division. I don't know why I feel that way. I think they're a fine tag team, but Bayley came in and was immediately like on the level of Ricochet and Kenny Omega, and wrestled for the Intercontinental Championship. And I was like, this is that kind of guy that I want to see, like, being the ultimate underdog who then breaks through and gets one of those singles belts. And as soon as I started feeling that, they were like, you're in a tag team with this other guy that I also loved watching in singles matches. And so I kind of felt like we didn't get enough of that before they jumped into the tag team. But I think they're fine. I think them losing here is probably the right call, although I would have not had a crutch being used as a crutch.
Sure.
At the end, I probably would have had FTR just be the smartest heel tag team I've ever seen and outsmart these two guys who they said on commentary, they're very good together, but they've obviously not been wrestling together for nearly as long as FTR has. Like, Dax and Cash know exactly where they're supposed to be at all times to do everything. And they were doing such a great job of working over Kevin Knight's leg. I thought they could have found a way for him to just be a hair step slower than he would want to be, which allows him in perfect position to take a shatter machine. Bayley is kept out of the ring by Dax or whatever. I feel like you could do that without having to rely on heel manager saves the day. I understand why they do it, but
I prefer
the other way.
I specifically understood why they did it tonight, because they immediately had a segment of which they needed some heat on Stokely.
That is true.
Now, I do understand, but I was okay with it here. I would like, whenever it is that they're like, you know what? Well, maybe Kevin Knight and Speedball should do singles. I think that should be a thing where we see them backstage and Kevin Knight's like, well, you know, I really like you. You're my friend. He's like, I just kind of want to try this singles thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think Speedball should just go, might I propose a fight? And then they have matches together
where they are
very clearly friends, but they're like, yeah, we should just kind of fight each other for a little bit.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Why not?
I also like the idea of Kevin Knight being like, listen, this is really hard for me to say, but I kind of want to branch out on my own and do a singles thing, and Bayley being, oh my God, thank God. I wanted to say it too, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Yes.
Because that seems like the kind of guy Mike Bailey is. And then they can, you know.
And then after Speedball's like, should we fight? And Kevin's like, should we see if Tony will put up $100,000 for it? Like one of those. And then I want to see them in those like four ways and being like, should I let you pin me and we just split it? Yeah. Like, is that,
that could be
like,
good.
You want to go in on this?
I mean, unironically, this, both of these guys should be in the C2. I honestly, if they don't have a match against each other until the C2, and it becomes like the winner of this match moves on in the tournament, and they're not antagonistic about it, but they both really want that match, that could be a really cool thing. You could tell that long-term story there.
After this, Cope comes out, cuts a promo with Stoke, and Stokely is like, you're not allowed to touch us. Like, I've made that clear. Like,
I don't know why Tony Khan agreed to that stipulation from Stokely Hathaway.
I don't either.
Okay.
But I mean, also, like, Stokely could be lying. I just don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
But if he's lying, I would hope that Adam Copeland would go to Tony Khan and say, sure. Stokely says I'm not allowed to touch FTR. And Tony Khan, yeah, Stokely's full of shit. Oh, thank God. I figured you wouldn't have agreed to that. And then that's over.
Well, I hope that's the thing next week. And he's like, money well spent, though.
Yes.
Because
truly money well spent.
Yeah. Because listen, I feel like this is a great use of Hurt Syndicate, more than we've seen out of the tag team division. Quite simply, them being in the literal business of hurting people. I buy these guys. I buy them as modern day APA. And a lot of people don't remember just how over APA were without being in the title scene. What APA did in the tag team division was so useful because it was them sitting backstage showing off their personalities and allowing other people to show off personalities. And then when utilized appropriately, it bought a feud an extra week because some other team would be like, oh, well, here you go. They were always pounding ass, Alex. That's what they were doing.
Right. Were they available to be hired as mercenaries / security while they were tag champions? Because that's the only thing I don't love about this, is as tag champions, they should be looking out for their own interests. Now, attacking FTR, who you could say are the favorite to win this tournament, is in their own interests. But my major problem with this was an inconsistency that they cleared up later in the evening. Because I did not think it was possible for them to be like, we're best friends with MJF, and also now we work for Adam Copeland. I don't think you can do both at the same time, and it turns out neither does AEW, which is a good thing.
They did win the WWF tag team titles as the APA in July 2001, and they held them for a month. I don't think they're shutting down the government,
that's true,
so to speak, just because, you know.
Right.
But also, what a phenomenal gimmick. That gimmick was actually pitched in the women's division at one point for Jessamine Duke, I believe. Who was, you know, 6 foot tall, ripped, jacked. But Cope brings them out. I like this, but they explain this is a business arrangement to MJF, and he's not happy. MJF is like, so all of a sudden, your buddies with him? It took me a long time to get into this thing.
Yeah.
And MVP's like he paid us money. And MJF should have been like, well, I tried to as well. What the hell?
But his thing is like, what are we doing with this? This is a waste of time. We should be working out how to get for me to get my title back. And this is the thing that he has been saying all the time. And I have been saying, I don't think Bobby Lashley in particular should take too kindly to this. And in this scene, when he grabs him by the face and shoves him up against a locker, and he says, we are not your lackeys. I swear to God, I felt wings sprout from my back. I was so happy.
So Dave Koss says, I know Alex was beaming. Bobby showing the audience, we ain't no lackey for this asshole, was so needed. Personally been bored of Syndicate. of late, but tonight was a progressive step. I agree. This was the most interesting Hurt Syndicate related thing that I have seen in quite some time. I did like them showing some susceptibility when like five guys beat them up with chairs, but this from a growth standpoint, seeing that they will be for hire and will that distract them from their ultimate goal of holding the tag titles? And MJF is up to some shady stuff.
Yeah.
Dick Cost also says, curious if you guys align. Never been so disenfranchised. Actually, that one, listen, Luis, put that on the promo, please. Put that on the promo. We will get to that momentarily. Thomas says, if Colton is injured, put Austin and Juice together as a tag team. Just don't bench either of them. I agree. Like, do something.
Yeah.
Juice Robinson is too good.
We've seen Juice be one half of one of the greatest tag team matches we've ever seen with him and Jay White. Juice Robinson, absolutely, with Austin Gunn, could at least click good enough to have a couple of matches together. I think you could absolutely keep those two guys together. I mean, the backstage footage of Juice Robinson hearing his pop and Austin being so happy for him is one of the most uplifting little pieces of footage in wrestling that I have seen in so long. I love it.
I've told you guys this story before, but it was really shocking to me, like how Juice thinks like people don't like him. Like, he's told that to me personally, and I'm like, man, I think you've got a real misconception. Like, you probably haven't been on Twitter since the CJ Parker days and all that. But I mean, like, he's loved. Well, Nick Wayne, Mother Wayne, and Kip Sabian don't love Christian. They are going to prove why they are a faction to be feared. They are uncaged. They are not answering to the patriarchy anymore, Alex. Any thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, they said very, like, in a very nebulous way, we are going to show physically what we could do. I was like, and I thought they were going to say, that's why we are in this tournament. I wouldn't want them to be. I don't think they deserve to be in the tournament, having never wrestled together. But when they were like, you know, we're going to do this, and they're starting on Saturday, it's like, is this the announcement of Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian in the tournament as ruined by Christian? But they did not do that.
You did get the pun, though, right? Uncaged.
Yeah, uncaged. I did get the pun. I did. Yes. I did get the pun. Yes.
They could call themselves the atheists now. Because, you know, they're not.
They're Christian. They're anti-Christian.
They're anti-Christian. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael Martinez leads us into our next one. Said, so Swerve and Will didn't become EVPs after winning. Well, they made that abundantly clear the week before the show. They said, this is not about us becoming EVPs. So no, they weren't EVPs. It was to remove that from the Young Bucks.
Yes.
Yeah. I got to show you this reaction. I just want Alex to see this reaction from this person that I don't want to say who it is.
Okay.
I'm going to DM it to you.
Okay.
This is good. So somebody popped up on my shoot Facebook, people you may know, and I sent it to someone who was formerly okay with this person in wrestling and is not, and I just can't. I can't show the class, but what we can do is show Alex the reaction and then what I said to this person and how they reacted. Okay, here we go. It's in your Twitter. It's in your Twitter DMs, Alex.
All right, here we go. Okay. Here we go. I'm looking. All right. It hasn't shown up yet. I'm looking.
Okay, well, what we're doing.
Here he is. Here we go. Sent a photo.
You can read the reply from this person, but not what I said.
Okay, not what you said.
Actually, you know what? You can read what I said. I'll go with it.
Okay. So the gray and the blue.
Don't say who it's from.
Won't say what it's from.
Okay.
Just say, dear God, run. You know she.
No, I replied with this.
Yes. This is Sean saying, You know she fist pumped when Undertaker chokeslammed Trick Williams. LOLOLOL OMGH.
And with the person that I enclosed, that would be an apt description, correct?
Yes, it would. Yes.
There you go. There you go. One day I will tell this story and we can refer to this moment here.
This clip will be in the documentary about that
and,
later.
And I will tell the story about how the person that popped up on my People You May Know once said to their boss, I don't like that Sean Ross Sapp guy. And their boss said, well, you should probably get the fuck over it. And then I believe the quote was, and do your job. There you go. Right. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. Jambeard says, I did like how Uncaged was on right after FTR and Cope. Somebody says, mm-hmm. We can't tease you like this. One day. Okay. I'm just accruing footage for the eventual end of career release here.
The retrospective. Yes.
Yes. Will there be a New Japan team in the tournament? I find that hard to believe during the G1.
Find that hard to believe. However, CMLL? Can we get a CMLL team in there? Because like you're doing a Forbidden Door thing. Sure. And I think we should refrain from as many AEW versus AEW matches at Forbidden Door in London as possible.
So the Ospreay promo, he said that he didn't know he was going to come out here, but he is. And he said that, quite frankly, he's been hiding a neck injury for about 10 months. Dave Koss says, shoot, disc diagnosis, or just banged up for Will. Shoot diagnosis. He is going to start getting it treated very soon. I think they found out about it like definitively in the last couple of weeks. He's hoping to be back for Forbidden Door. It's herniated discs in his neck. And I saw somebody say, oh, well, it's got to be a work because that's what Jamie Hayter had, and that had her out for 15 months. Listen, yeah, boy's got a couple herniated discs right now. Mm-hmm. Like it's something you can live with, but how your body responds to it is way different. Tommy Dreamer worked through a bunch for years, obviously to a much different degree than that of Will Ospreay, but this is unfortunate. And then he saw Swerve Strickland on the ramp.
This was the Denzel Washington gif of, oh my God. Cause he was doing, a lot of like, you know, hey, it's me, bruv. I'm here and I've got some bad news. I was like, this better not be Kevin Owens. This better not be Kevin Owens' bad news. Like the way that he was doing this thing, you could tell he was trying to not make a big deal out of it. The idea that we thought at best case scenario, maybe he's out for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, I don't know if I'll be back. And then he was like, I might be cleared by Forbidden Door. I was like, oh, God, that's so much better than what I thought it was going to be. I was literally like, please be a lazy Mark Henry parody. Please be a lazy Mark Henry parody. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was a real thing, but also so much less than what I was worried it was going to be.
It's funny, for my life, I could be paralyzed. See you.
that's so do, Will, though. That is so you, Will.
Do you want to see how I ran into or hear about how I ran into him at the after party?
Yeah.
So I see Will, and Will is always polite. Oh, bruv, how are you? That. But he had a couple friends who were enjoying themselves.
Yes, of course.
They had partied. They were polite in the loudest way. Somebody goes, oh, who is this? Sean Rossap, he does dirt sheets. And then this girl goes, dirt sheets? What's in them dirt sheets, mate? And I'm like, this is very, very... I'm just sitting there like, I don't know. I'm off the clock right now. And then this guy comes over and he's like, dirt sheets? Who said them? Them dirt sheets?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Yeah. And I was like, it's this guy over here. It's not me. I'm just trying to get a potato with some brisket in it. Can you all like...
Please. Calm,
let's calm down.
Yeah.
But I was like... there. But Will is always lovely. And Vicky says, isn't it fun watching drunk people when you're sober? Like, we were all leaving. We were all walking out at that point, though.
Right.
Like, leaving that. So you're going to run into some people. And sure. I want to say this. Lovely people. They were very nice. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Sean's impression of Ollie. Oh, no, buddy.
No.
Hello, this is Ollie Davis of Wrestle Talk.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
According to Fightful.
There you go. That's my impersonation of Ollie Davis.
Yeah.
According to Fightful.
Yeah, and then, you know, Will, of course, is down here, bruv.
Yes, yes.
I got on the plane. I come over here, gave Tony Khan a hug. I came out here. My neck is all cocked up,
dude.
But I'll be fine.
Let me tell you. So, gosh, this is probably a story for their own podcast. But I went to WrestleTalk Studios when I went to the UK, right?
Yeah.
And Tempest was there. And Tempest relocated from Toronto to go there.
Right.
And my God, I was there. And they're like, oh, would you like some tea? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I would love that. I've not had tea since I've been here. And they're like, do you want it straight? Do you want it with sugar? And they start like bullying Tempest. They're like, you could be like Tempest. Little baby wants two sugars. And I was like,
summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You know what? I'm going to make Tempest feel okay. I'm going to ask for three sugars. Because, like, I don't want him to be bullied. Alex, with three sugars, it was the most bitter dirt water you've ever had.
No.
It is nowhere near what we have. In the South, it is not tea. It
no.
is. It's... You know how it's brown drink. Like, you know, you got purple drink, green drink. It's brown drink is what it is.
You cannot compare sweet tea in the U.S. South to tea no.
Tempest is just sitting there like he's heard this a million times after they were bullying him over like two sugars. And I was like, no, you know what? I'll go crazy. I'll have three. Oh, my God. It was so bitter. I was not built for it.
I lived in the UK for 4 months, 20 some odd years ago. For like, I was as part of like a theater tour, and for a while I was living with this ancient British lady who made us as condition for staying in her guest room for free we had to come to tea at 4 p.m. every day. And it was the, it was, oh my gosh. She's like, we had to sit there and drink the tea. Oh my goodness, man.
I'll just, I'll just never forget it. They were really like Sully. Really letting him have it. He's like the nicest guy. Yeah. But he's like, oh, little baby. Like talking baby talk to him and stuff. I was like, damn. Oh, damn. That was something. But either way, Will Ospreay has herniated discs. And let me tell you, buddy, if you want a herniated dick, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL has you covered. You might be sidelining somebody else for a couple of months once you enter their forbidden door when you use Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. That's right. You can get your first shipment free, and you might say, well, Sean, I hope it's a little more discreet than this ad read. Well, it is, because when you go online, you get you hooked up with one of their physicians. They're like, okay, is this right for you? And if so, ship straight to your door. Don't have to wait at the doctor's office. Don't have to wait at the pharmacy. You don't have to have people, you know, be like, what are you getting? Oh, it's for your wiener. No, it's not like that. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It's not about people who just need that performance boost, even though you can. It's about that confidence. It's about legacy, that third legacy with Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. As always, get your first month of Blue Chew free. Just use that promo code FIGHTFUL at checkout. Pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Somebody says Kate is so much more subtle. Listen, rarely. I would not believe that. I love that they've sponsored FIGHTFUL for all these years. For 8 years now, they have sponsored us. They were our first sponsor. They have never wavered. They have never lapsed. They have never any of that stuff. Truly love Blue Chew, their company, and what they've done for us over these years. Get your herniated dick at Blue Chew with the code FIGHTFUL. Tom LaValle says FTR should fight the CMLL tag champs. Win that belt, add it to their collection. They can set up the title match in this tournament. What I don't want to see is them bringing more title belts onto AEW TV at this point.
Yeah.
But I do want to see them win the CMLL tag team titles in the past, in the future. They've won ROH, IWGP, AAA, WWE, NXT. I think they won both Raw and SmackDown and AEW. So I would like to see them win that as well. We've got vignette for Julia Sky and Tekla saying that whoever isn't with them is against them. Listen, I'm digging this.
I love this trio. Call them the Sisterhood of the Spider. I don't care what this is. Yeah. I'm in. I love it. Like, it's one of those things where until you see like Julia Hart and Sky Blue integrating Tekla into their weird little thing that they do, it wouldn't come across your brain. And then you see it and you go, oh my God, this is perfect. Because all of them are like, it just feels like Tekla being the extra creepy one in this weird little duo, and then Julia Hart being like, I don't know, man. I'm really excited to see what this can be. I love that basically looks like their first thing that they got to do is take on Willow, which is good. Willow is not a big fan of Tex, as she calls her. This is really good. I'm really excited to see this because, like, you have Sky and Julia and Tekla, all of them can get involved and have singles matches as part of whatever they're doing. Willow versus all three of them is fun. Whatever.
We've got Willow cutting her promo. And then we got the Athena and Billy Starks promo where Billy is sort of being a good little soldier for Athena and about to do some of her bidding. Tony then beats Billy Starks in a match. MIT attack storm. And briefly, it looked like Billy was going to cost Athena the opportunity to cash in. She's like, come on, look, she beat me, but I got her. We're going to lay her out. And she took out Aubrey, but then Alex Windsor made the save. I want to know what you thought of the promo and the match before we get to the beatdown.
I think Billy is just a huge star in the making. She's still so young, and she's obviously very talented in the ring, and she's getting better and better as her character. Athena is it's a crime that they have hidden her in witness protection now for however many hundreds of days she's been the champion. This is a thing that you could have easily done where, I don't know, it's been almost 3 years that she's been the champ, if I'm not doing my math incorrectly. There's no reason why we haven't seen her defend her title four times every one of those years. So 12 times in total. Hell, go up to 15 times. That we've seen her do that at some point during a year on AEW television, on an AEW pay-per-view. She's tremendous. And there's this whole thing now that they're, I think that they're might be integrating more into AEW television now that Athena is on television for a while, is this incredibly long, drawn out storytelling between her and Billy, where Billy was her minion, then they were fighting against each other, now she's back to being her minion, like in different ways, and like that maybe we could have seen over the course of several years, so it doesn't feel like, I don't know who these characters are because you don't put them on our TV very often. They're both great, and I want to see them more going forward. The match is excellent because Billy is really good, and Toni Storm is playing everything to the hilt, doing a great job being the babyface in this match. Her winning is I think the right call, obviously, but then, you know, the Billy taking her out afterwards, because what in the promo she said, I'm gonna beat Toni, and or Tone T. Athena says, no, you're not. That doesn't matter. Whatever. You're going to take her out. That's what we need. You're going to take her out. And she does. And she makes sure that Aubrey doesn't stop her, gets that done. Athena makes her way down from the balcony and is going to cash in the contract. And I didn't really get why Alex Windsor was stopping Athena from beating Toni Storm, because let's say you are confident enough to say, I'm going to beat her on Saturday. I have a title match for her ROH championship on Saturday. Yes. If she is also the AEW women's champion on the night that I beat her, then I not only am the ROH champion, but if I don't somehow get that as a double championship match, then I have a claim to a fight her for that title too.
I agree.
And I already know I can beat her. There's no reason for Alex Windsor to make the save for Toni Storm. I don't see why that happened.
I completely agree. That is exactly what I was getting to. Oh, man. Swerve defeated Hechicero via DQ. I hate DQs in AEW. I don't like them. What does Hechicero lose by losing to Swerve Strickland?
Nothing.
I would have rather the follow-up be just the beatdown and attempt and all that than a DQ. Like, well, again, don't like it anywhere, especially when it's like Hechicero didn't need to be protected here.
No.
Maybe it's an element to try to get some heat on the Don Callis family.
Like, if it was Kyle Fletcher, then I sure would say you don't want Kyle Fletcher losing a match to start Swerve right now. But Hechicero can lose this match. Lance Archer getting involved. I mean, it leads to, you know, all the Don Callis stuff and Okada, like all of that. That all, I guess, is a thing that progresses your Okada and Swerve feud. But there's no reason for the DQ here.
Yeah, the Okada.
I guess Hechicero is lined up for an ROH title match, So you maybe don't want to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But you know what you can also, you know what you can also do? Not book this match.
You could also not book this match. You could, yeah, you could easily do that. With Bandido and Brody King coming down to like be the Swerve thing, like if I like the idea that Swerve just has dudes who think he's cool and will back him up.
Yes.
As opposed to like the Mogul Embassy, he just has dudes who think he's cool and will back him up. I just think that's fine.
So yeah, I will agree. I completely forgotten about the Hechicero ROH thing, but just don't book the match. I wish Twitter would book us getting our Espanol account back, by the way, which they banned because they thought it was a fake account. So hit up Twitter, even though it's in our bio, by the way. It's in our bio on Facebook or on Twitter. It's on all of our stuff. But Luis was doing fantastic work over there.
Yeah.
And Twitter really screwing us over. We've got Brian Moore left saying, Hechicero has become one of my favorite luchadors since the Danielson match. Glad to see more of him, but I do wish that match had a finish. I mean, I wish it would have been somebody else being booked is what I wish it was.
I mean,
in that sense.
I get you want the Hechicero thing to make it look like, hey, man, he might actually beat Swerve or whatever. And to make it seem like he's got a chance to beat Bandido. Like, and Bandido comes out to make the save. All of that kind of works together. I don't think we need the DQ, but whatever. I do want to say Don Callis as Echicero's personal ring announcer doing the Spanish was a very good touch.
Somebody says, Tony and Alex are friends. Why wouldn't she help her friend? Alex just told you why. He just told you why. Because she would be in line to get a world title shot if she won the ROH title as well.
I know Tony Storm and Alex Windsor are friends off screen. Have they ever established that they are friends on screen?
Because well, if Windsor they haven't,
then
new,
that,
so.
That. But I'm saying if they haven't established that, then that reason for backing her up doesn't exist yet. Because you got to establish that on screen first.
Oh, man. We've got... let's see here. Where are we at? Oh, there we go. Jane Beard says, when they both come back, put Wardlow with Archer and Brian Cage as a trios, call them Murder War Machine since the tag team was Murder Machine. Well, I don't think that that Brian Cage is going to be back anytime soon. He's got pretty rough injury. Ricochet and Gates of Agony cut a promo, but it's just GOA now. Meat Normus says, smoke the chicken for 2 hours, finished it in my rotisserie oven. Let's crank Ricochet and GOA for trios or a single and tag title run. I like it as a trios. I want to see that.
Like, I wouldn't mind if GOA is in this tag team tournament. Like, I certainly would not mind that if they're one of the teams that loses in the first round but has a great match. I wouldn't mind that at all. They're very, very good. They just won this $200,000 thing or whatever from the in that four-way. That I feel like would be a good enough reason to then include them in this tournament. I think they're great. I love them together. They play off each other so well. Ricochet is a born leader of this kind of faction. Like, it's crazy to me how little they let him use any of his personality in the place where he came from before he's here, because like this is a game changer for him. Like, this whole thing where Toa Leona just screams and he's like, oh, like he does this little take to it. That was great. This is a perfect team to beat the Ops eventually for the trios titles. I think they'd be great together, but I do think Ricochet should not be slept on as a future like unified title champion.
Sure.
Like he's very,
incredible.
Very good.
He is incredible. So we had MJF cutting a promo. He's confronted by Mark Briscoe. After Mark Briscoe went serious last week, it's like he had to be snapped back into it this week.
Yeah.
And this is him bringing up pickle, pickle, pickle. And I'm like,
right.
I love Mark Briscoe. I don't need this all the time.
No, like he went from little penis jokes to stuff up your butt jokes. That was the first minute of his promo, was like, and I just felt like this feels like the promo that a sixth grader would cut.
And I don't need it with the guy that is about to compete for the world title either.
Right. Yeah.
Dave Koss says, curious if you guys align, never been so disenfranchised with MJF since AEW began. His one note, cheap heat ways have worn thin, and honestly, a spot on the show to check my phone needs some progression. Well, I mean, it was the opposite. He was this thing has been the opposite. It has been him complimenting the legacy of Mark Briscoe's brother, not saying, LOL, your brother died. It has been him, almost him trying to wake up Mark Briscoe and say, he's probably really ashamed of what you are doing with these pickle jokes and the up your ass jokes.
Yeah.
And MJF is a guy who is accused of being one note, but he's saying, yeah, Jay Briscoe wasn't though, and he wouldn't want you to be either.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting to me that that he came out of that altercation with Bobby Lashley. And he's like, oh yeah, I don't need him. Like, that was the whole reason why you spent months trying to get into the faction, so you would have guys to back you up in an eventual feud with whomever has the AEW world title. And now you don't have those guys anymore. So, I feel like we could have seen some more cracks in the facade. But now that we know that he can use the little, the thing to do to get whatever he wants, whenever he wants, like MJF, I feel like normally I wouldn't love this idea, but they're definitely doing a long-term feud with him and Mark Briscoe. This keeps continuing. If MJF tries to cash in and Mark Briscoe says, haha, nope, we're not letting that happen. Like, is that part of this?
I wouldn't hate at some point MJF losing this contract to Mark Briscoe and then having to earn it without the help of Hurt Syndicate. Or, I'm also open to the potential of Hurt Syndicate is actually swerving everybody and they're playing this up so people think that they're not doing that. And Jambeard says, with the potential split, do you think MJF brings in Hammerstone and Holiday? MJF recently was in MLW and Hammerstone just posted a picture of himself and Bobby. There are few men on the indie ranks that I think are more television ready for any. I don't care if it's New Japan, I don't care if it's TNA, WWE, AEW, then Richard Holiday and MJF is TV ready. Yeah. Richard Holiday and Alex Hammerstone. They get it. They have familiarity with each other. They've worked together. They've got history. They've got a story. They've got history with MJF as well. I don't know how much AEW wants to expand the roster. They have slowed down significantly, but I would be in favor of them signing anywhere.
I love the idea of, and I don't know how amenable they would be to this, but if you said, we want to do a story, we want to do a story with you and MJF and the Hurt Syndicate. And we want to pay you for that story. And then we'll see, you know what I mean? Like, and prove while you're doing that story, because it's a main top of the card thing. It's going to be more exposure for either of you guys than you've ever gotten. Like, and we would then bring you back, because they used to do a lot of like, but paid by dates or whatever things in the past.
Pay per appearance.
And so I think that, you know, they could do that. It would have a time limit on it. But I love the idea of those two guys with MJF versus the Hurt Syndicate. That makes a lot of sense to me.
We got Mark Briscoe against Claudio. You got Darby at ringside. Vicky says, SRS, my question is about Darby. Are they going to use him in this ghost-like specter gimmick for a while? End game, please. Thoughts? Well, I mean, he communicated to Tony Khan at some point that he did not need a world championship to feel accomplished, which I want to say, very unselfish and secure of himself to do that, to also probably realize, you know, maybe right now is not the best time for me. And honestly, I think the fact that that came out publicly probably helps his prospects as to becoming such a champion in the future as well, with that sort of selflessness shown. Where do you see them going with this, Alex?
Well, I think they had a big missed opportunity with this venue to have Darby, like during the Claudio match, have Darby in one of the boxes and Claudio thinks he sees him, and then he's
gone. They're still next week.
But in this particular moment, because the main event, Claudio's there. Did like Tony Schiavone? Did we see what we thought we saw? Claudio sure seems to think so. And then he's in a different part of the up there. And then he's in a different part. And then he's right at ringside. You could do some really cool stuff with the spectral, like the specter of vengeance part of the Darby Allin thing. Just making people really unnerved by, we tried to kill this guy and somehow he's not dead. Like,
yeah,
that part, like, not necessarily spooky or supernatural, but like, just I don't trust this dude. Like, he tried to light a guy on fire. That pink coat, I'm sure, is still somewhere. That's also very unnerving, because what Muppet did he skin to be able to wear that coat? That man
obviously, maybe it was one of yours, maybe it's one of your Muppets,
maybe it's my one of my Muppets, maybe that's why I haven't got my Muppet yet, because it's been skinned by Darby Allin for a coat.
Endangered species, the Muppets. Duckman says one thing they may be doing with MJF might be calling back to his early promos where he said he talked about finding it hard to trust people. Well, I mean, he's certainly, like, on the surface, unless it's like a big swerve, finding it very hard to trust people because people aren't doing everything for him, which is what he wants them to do. Yeah. He just wants people doing things for him. Jambeard says Darby needs to haunt the D-Riders like his mentor Sting haunted NWO for a year. I'll talk about where I see this tying in momentarily. The Death Riders did attack Mark Briscoe, but listen, if your bank account is under attack, use NordVPN.com and the code FIGHTFUL. How about this? How could you say no? A 30-day money-back guarantee. If you pass that point, you can get an Amazon gift card between, like, I think 51 and 80 days. When you subscribe to NordVPN.com/Fightful, you might say, Sean, why would I need that? Well, do you buy wrestling pay-per-views? Or do you just like WWE? Maybe you're watching this and you're like, nah, I just care about WWE. I'm just here to troll. Well, Netflix, one account, gets you Raw, SmackDown, NXT, PLEs with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you just watch wrestling on those things, I can save you 20, 30 bucks a month. I saved 20 bucks on the TNA pay-per-view the other night, saved 20 bucks on the replay of the AEW pay-per-view, saved 40 plus on the UFC pay-per-view. And this is for something that's only like $2-3 a month. Get a mega discount and 4 extra months at NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's very simple. You download the app, you change your virtual location, and then you're good to go. You can buy those pay-per-views at the much more affordable price. But it's not just that. Shield your data. Listen to your favorites abroad. Like, hey, if you're going to Canada, you're going overseas for Forbidden Door, you can listen to all your favorite shows, watch all your favorite movies, or you can get access to what they've got over there. It's available on all devices, all operating systems, and there are so many benefits over at NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's incredibly fast. It's got reliable encryption, a global server network. It's safe from disruptions. It's got 24/7 tech support, and it's put over by all of the biggest outlets out there. Huffington Post, Wired, Yahoo, Forbes, BuzzFeed, CNET, all that good stuff. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Is Tessa Blanchard headed to WWE? So here's where I stand on that. Like, just my hunch, not a report, but WWE could have had her at any point that they wanted over the last 5 years, and they didn't. And I don't think that they would just, I don't think they would go and hear, she's a racist, she's a racist, she's a racist, and then say, we got to have that. We got to get that in our performance center where they're going to be even meaner to her. I would like to think not. I would like to hope that WWE won't surprise me with this.
Yeah.
John Moxley face to face with Hangman Page. He wants a rematch. And Hangman goes, yeah, let's do it. But I'm not trying to impress the man you are now. I'm trying to do something to impress the man that carried AEW on his back multiple times and carried that belt as a champion, not hid it away. And he goes, you're the challenger, so now it's my terms. which the funny thing was the other was one was
his
also
term. His, it was term. His terms. Yeah, it was his terms before too. Yeah.
His terms before. But now it's really his turn to make the terms. He said, nobody is, or everybody's banned from ringside except for the referee. Good. Categorically yeah. different match.
Yes.
Way different match.
He's the opposite kind of match. This is why you have the rematch. I honestly really liked yeah. the promo from Moxley. So I lost. I'm not going to sit here and be yeah. a little bitch about it, but I do want a rematch. I made a mistake. I'm going to fix it. That is the kind of yeah. thing that you would want from a champion who's been a champion for 10 months. That makes sense. You know what I mean? Like that's a thing that makes sense for him to do that. And also, it makes sense for him for him to be granted a rematch. He was the champion for 10 months.
Sure.
Like, and I like that they're not building to it at Forbidden Door or God forbid All Out. Like it's they're getting it out of the way now. And I've seen a lot of like not a lot, but enough. I don't know if they're bad faith arguments or not, of Hangman needs to like put a stamp on it. He needs to beat Moxley once and for all. Get rid of him. The Death Riders have got to collapse as a faction. You got to get that out of the way entirely, or that is going to be there just hanging over everything. And this is what they're doing. Moxley is putting over Hangman once and for all in an honest to God wrestling match. Not a Texas death match. Just two guys fighting with nobody at ringside. I think it's a really good use of it. I think it's a major deal. It's something to like bring in eyes to the, like it's an AEW world title match on Dynamite between two yeah. of your top guys. It's perfect. I really loved Hangman saying you knew it was all bullshit when you said I didn't want the Texas death match. And I proved it was bullshit that I did want it because I beat you. But when you say that you think I can't handle this, I can't carry this title, I think you actually believe that. And so that is what I'm going to prove wrong. I'm going to prove that part wrong when I beat you next week. That's a great babyface champion. Not running yes. away from the thing. Not saying, you don't deserve a rematch. Saying, I'm going to beat you. But this time, there's none of your friends are going to get involved and none of my friends are going to get involved. Just you, just me, and the referee. Let's do it. That's great. Love it.
Way different type of match than what we experienced at All In. And I like that because it adds some credibility yep. to that title reign as well. Dante says, there's no way they're going to put the title on Mox, right? That would be a misstep so soon. It would be a turn the TV off moment.
They won't do, I think.
They wanted a Luger beating Hogan moment, but I don't think they wanted the, well, Hogan just beat him 6 days later again moment either.
No.
So, Dave Cost says, great call blowing off the Hangman Mox match on TV to move some seats, pop a rating, not taking that all the way to another pay-per-view. Love that move. Well, I mean, when you look at it, like, what's the next pay-per-view?
Forbidden Door, right?
Forbidden Door. That wouldn't make sense for Forbidden Door. No, just wouldn't make sense for it. There are some things to note, though. This will be, I don't think they got to move too many seats in this venue.
Yeah.
But it is the last, it's the fifth of sixth shows there. So maybe yes. a little bit. Cincinnati is August 13th. You couldn't do it there because Moxley's going to get cheered
yeah.
over your new champion. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that interests me, Alex. We've been talking about, well, maybe they'll do a Blood and Guts.
Mm-hmm.
Where could they fit the cage where they're going? Which is an interesting question. Because they got the 2300 arena. They've got, I mean, the Andrew J. Brady Music Center is very yeah. small. Yeah. I don't think the Berglund Center or the Wolstein Center are that big. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know if there's a configuration for that. So maybe that doesn't end up happening.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we've been thinking about it all wrong. And I think that's a really good indication of why they wouldn't be able to do it
yeah.
because of that particular thing. Yeah.
Maybe if somebody says maybe All Out, that would be a possibility.
That's
honestly,
a long time from now for the Death Riders to still be hanging around.
2 months. 2 months with the Forbidden Door. And yeah. we're talking about Forbidden Door feuds in there yeah. as well.
Yeah.
So like Forbidden Door kind of exists of its own. I think they could probably do it at the OVO Hydro, but like, are you going to take that stuff over there? I don't think so. Not after everybody thinking that the ring in Australia was 12 feet by 12 feet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think you trust that. We've got Carlos saying, is blood and guts happening this shit? Sorry, that's I meant to read that out loud. Are we just waiting for the G1 to get New Japan in for the pay-per-view build? Well, buddy, we can't wait too long because I think you got to have some crossover stuff. Forbidden Door is like right after the G1. You're going to see some beat up people show.
Yeah. There's somebody was mentioning guys who work for New Japan who aren't in the G1, and maybe like them getting something to do would be good. I think
CMLL will be factored in.
I think you have to factor in CMLL and as many of your British talents as possible on a show that you're trying to sell in the UK. We got to figure out what that is. They've got a full month to get there. So we'll see.
You want to hope that Jamie Hayter's ready.
You got to hope.
You've got
Hayter. Yeah.
You got Will Ospreay. You want to put Nigel McGuinness on that show for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And somebody says in Stardom. Yeah, Stardom, that would be good. Wish Shiri Kondo wasn't getting that elbow surgery. Best wishes, Shiri.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. If you all haven't seen our incredible slate of content over the last week, our shorts tab has an incredible amount of stuff, but that Speedball interview is great. Corey Brennan did a great interview with Isla Dawn. I did one with Mike Santana where his demeanor speaks volumes now. Did one with Carlos Silva, and I also did a Fightful Studios video where I talk about the process of interviewing Bret the Hitman Hart. Before that, we had Tony Storm, we had Kevin Knight, we had Zilla Fatu, we had Missa Kate. You guys have really been showing up for those interviews, even here on YouTube. We've got them on like a bunch of different platforms, but I just want to say I appreciate you guys. Ultimo Guerrero on Fightful Espanol's Facebook, and if we can get Elon to get off his ass to reinstate Fightful Espanol on Twitter. Mr. Super Chat, Anthony, I will find it, my friend. Let's see. Let's go up through here. Anthony Velasquez. Oh, yes. He says, finally, the Hurt Syndicate let MJF know we don't work for you. Mm-hmm. Essentially been waiting for some kind of development like this after a month of them looking like stooges. I completely agree, Anthony. And I know that Alex was very, very adamant on this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, this was the perfect way to do it. You know what I love the most about all of this is MJF saying, Renee, could we have the room, please?
Yes.
Like it was just so understated. And then as soon as she left, Bobby just by the jaw up against the locker, we are not your lackeys. It's perfect. God, what a great segment.
I really like that segment. And MJF is one of those guys that you know that he knows. He's very capable. And he's, but also it's Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin that are levying these threats towards him. He's not stupid. He's very capable. He's confident. But Duckman says one thing. We read that one. We're getting the hell out of here. Go check out the hump from this afternoon. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings,
Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.